Hello, and welcome to the Podcast of Steel. Here, I share news, reviews, my adventures, interviews, and more. You can always expect some Superman content from this show, but I'm a lover of all things geeky, so you never know what you're going to get. Now, let's leap into action with a brand new episode of the Podcast of Steel.
Hello, and welcome back to the Podcast of Steel. I'm back, and I've got a special guest today. Dave Franciosa, welcome, sir.
Thank you very much, Luke. You and I both know this has been a long time coming, so yes, I really appreciate being here, as I've stated multiple times, but no, this is great. Very excited.
It's happening. It's finally here. You're an artist. You're a Superman fan. You're a comic fan. You're a wonderful person, and I'm excited that this has finally come to be, and we are having this conversation. Even though this is our first time speaking face-to-face, as it were, we've chatted for many a year by the magic of social media. But right now, you're on the other side of the world. I'm over here in England. This is happening, and I'm excited. Dave, for those that don't know about you, and they are soon going to learn a lot that I can't wait, please, if you could introduce yourself to the listeners and the watchers and share your origin story, Dave.
Absolutely. Okay, so I haven't prepared for this, but here I go. My name is Dave, and I am an artist. So, you know, that's it. No, just kidding.
That's it. No, it's great.
No,
right,
no, no. Thanks
for listening. We'll be back next week with another episode of the Podcast of Steel.
Okay, so my origin story, I'll take it from the top.
Please.
You know, I have been into comic books and art since I can remember. My family is the one who's actually told me the stories, because I can't remember to such an early age, but they said since 2 years old, I started drawing. And the thing that got me drawing was actually Batman specifically. It was Batman 89 that, you know, that visual of the suit, I can still remember, and I still have the love for it to this day. Just like captured, you know, my attention. It is just so vivid, and not vivid, dark really, but so interesting to look at. So from a young age, I became known as, you know, the kid who always drew Batman. And Batman was essentially the start of my comic journey, because, you know, the animated series was on TV when I was younger as well. And that was, you know, the continuation into this world of comics. And then, you know, along with it, Superman, Spider-Man, X-Men, then comics, and then movies. And it all kind of just, you know, sucked me right in. And it was always kind of not influenced, but it was always, my family was always very positive about it. I went to school for art. They never questioned why I was going to school for art. It was always a passion that was in me. So to have that support has always been excellent. And there's art in my family as well. My whole family's very creative. So it kind of runs through us, I got to say.
Oh, so if there was a family member that would dare say was the proudest that you are an artist, which family member do you think would be happy to give you the most inspiration?
Oh, that's...
it's a tough one.
It's tough because I you know, I couldn't speak for someone else, but what I can say is that, you know, from a young age, I do recall, okay, so my dad actually always had drawings that he, you know, he worked on different stuff. I remember Rambo, I remember Batman. So these are things that kind of stick out in my mind from when I was a kid. My brother also was an illustrator. You know, he drew comics as well. So I remember the Wolverines and the Supermans. My mom and my sister, both creative in their own way, not always, they didn't begin in an illustration fashion, but, you know, more crafty, and, you know, things like the Cricut. You ever heard of the Cricut machine?
What's that?
So it's a, oh my God, I don't even know how to explain it. It does multiple things. So Cricut's a company, and the machine, it'll cut, you know, like vinyl or cut out paper, and you can make like paper crafts. Like,
okay.
Actually, can I? Is there one? Oh, there's not one up here. So
okay.
You usually have one on the main floor. It's like a Christmas house, but it's made to put over a tissue box so you can pull out tissues. I know that sounds absolutely absurd, but that's what this thing can do. It's like the Cricut machine makes like 3D sculptures, but you have to build them. It cuts out paper, and you put all the paper together, you glue it together, and it makes these,
wow,
these crafts. It's incredible. If you've never heard of it, and you just Google it, you will see that there's
fascinating
things.
Unless I've missed out on this crafting sensation, it sounds brilliant. I'm going to be, a new hyperfixation has just been born, Dave. It sounds amazing.
It's pretty interesting stuff. It's not something I'm familiar with. So yeah, I hand that one over to the ladies in the family, because it's not my cup of tea. I'm just a pencil and paper kind of guy.
I do love that everyone's got this different aspect of creativity that they've, you know, that they brought into the house, as it were, and everybody's got something on that is their thing. And you can sort of take bits and pieces from everybody else's passion for creativity. I love that. Is there music in the family as well, Dave?
Funny enough, we all love music. None of us actually play any instruments. My sister and I both worked at a record store when we were younger.
Wow.
For many years. And that, you know, really formed my opinion on a lot of music and movies.
I bet it did.
Because, you know, that's where my collection started, you know, where I started buying CDs and buying DVDs. And my dad and my mom have always had music playing in the house. We're big fans of music. We love music. When no one's in a band, you know, my dad's played guitar here and there. My brother, you know, had a bass, and, you know, there's been organ in the family here and there, but nothing, you know, there's no musicians, but everyone's dabbled, I guess you could say.
We like to dabble. That's the thing with me. I mean, I'm always focusing on one new thing at a time, and then something else will happen. Like right now, all I can think about is this cricket machine. All I want to do is just jump on that. But music and movies and books and TV and artwork, there's all these like things that I like to take little just snippets of information from, and I love that. Now, just this could go on for hours now, but it's something I miss from shopping malls and the high streets are music shops. As a kid, blooming it, that makes you sound very old. When I first, one of the first times I went to America, I went to a Virgin Megastore, and I can remember buying the soundtrack for Empire Records. Fantastic film, set in a record shop.
Yep.
I was like, this is what a music shop should be like. In the UK, there weren't that many. There were sort of record shops where you could go and get vinyl and CDs, and there are a few popping up. And my sister used to work in a record shop as well. And again, whenever you would go in there, there'd be a different band playing or a different type of music. And that's what I loved about just stepping into that world. One day I'd go in and I'd be listening to some fantastic soul music. The next time it could be funk. The next time I could be going there and it could be like some real fantastic hip hop and rap. You get that from a record shop. So I love that you worked in one and you got that. But I feel bringing that back into the world of comics and art, it's what I've always wanted to work in a comic shop. Because you get so many different stories and characters and different worlds to dabble into. Yes, I'm clearly a Superman fan, but I do love the art of comic book storytelling. So where did that begin for you getting into superheroes, Dave?
Oh, it's funny. It's such a blur. And like you said, we could be here for hours because I kid you not, like my whole life has been superheroes. I know everyone says that, but it's because everyone means it. If you're into this stuff from a young age, it's the truth. Yeah. You love this stuff, you know, through and through. So,
oh man,
you know, it was never taboo for me. I guess I could say superheroes, right? Like you see these old fashioned sitcoms or jokes, or, you know, there's always the, I don't want to paint any picture incorrectly here, but it's always, you know, the nerdy person is into comic books, right? That was the stereotype.
No, that was it. I mean, yeah. I mean, for many years being a nerd or a geek, It wasn't always a badge of honor as it has become. It was to some a dirty and hurtful word. So I'm so grateful now that so many different places are embracing that passion, whether it be for comics or music or sport or art. Everybody is a geek or a nerd about something. So no, I completely understand where you're coming from.
Well, to talk on that, I'll, you know, give you a little funny story. I've always looked a little bit older than my age when I was younger. That's confusing. My point is when I got into high school.
Just to clarify, though, you are 12, right, Dave? Is that right?
13.
It was the 5 o'clock shadow that got it. Anyway, sorry.
So when I got into high school, you know, I was, you know, generally taller, broader, you know, just bigger overall. So I was getting questions of, you know, am I going to be on the football team? Is this guy, you know, a new senior, even though I was just starting high school? You know, some people thought I transferred and I was in grade 12 and all these things. It's the UK work on numbers, like grade 9, 10, 11, 12?
We go from pretty much, again, it's changes from school to school. But yeah, it ends in, I believe, the 11th year or 12th year here now. So it goes in that sort of grading system as well.
Okay. I just didn't want to confuse anyone because I know that the gradings are different.
Yeah, no, it's not all sort of Harry Potter here. It's not all houses. Even though saying that when I was in school, they did have colored houses. But anyway, I digress. You're in school.
Yes. So the reason I'm bringing this up is because it's stuck with me to this day. I've always been, you know, this superhero loving person, you know, want to do good because of the way my family brought me up and the way I've read comics. And, you know, I've always intended to bring out, you know, the best that I can in myself and people. So I get to high school, people don't know me. When I start meeting new people, the amount of times I heard, man, I thought you were like a, you know, like a jock or a jerk or a, you know, the assumption that people made, you know, reading a book by its cover, they were like, you know, you always looked so stern and so serious and you're this big guy and you're, they're like, you're just a comic geek. I'm like, hell yeah. You know what I mean? Like, so I loved to break that mold. I'm proud to say that I was never afraid to be a comic fan, even if people didn't see me that way. I wanted to
Great. Love that.
Say, hey, like, we come in all shapes and sizes. You know what I mean? Like, it's interesting that mold has broken even more over time. Because, you know, I'm going back years now. When I was in high school, it was a little bit more surprising. Now everyone loves comics. Doesn't matter who you talk to, right? Which is great. All the movies. I do have to hand it to the MCU on a degree, because they really pulled in a new generation of kids and family, right? And even though, you know, DC's been around forever, Superman being, you know, 1978 with Christopher Reeve, but it wasn't the norm like it is now, right?
No.
So I just love that it's become a norm where everyone can celebrate. You go to comic conventions, you see big, small, doesn't matter, kids, adults, everyone's there because they're passionate. So I love that.
And that's something that is, it's just a beautiful thing to see at a Comic-Con. It's just that it's not just comics now. Yep. Yes, the name is in the title, but everybody is there for something different. And it could be a whole number of things now. Now it could be anime, it could be video games, it could be comics for the cosplay or for the music. There's something there that is just so welcoming and inclusive about a Comic-Con. And I'm sure we will get into that in a bit. But it's a beautiful thing to be a geek about something. And there is so much option now. But because I'm biased, I do always happen to think it does always come back to Superman and Action Comics 1938, because I am a fan of that. Now, I've had the great fortune, before we hit record, to see some of your fantastic Superman and hero items in your collection, which we will get some of the other heroes, as it were. But what are some of your younger memories of Superman?
My earliest memories of Superman would definitely be Superman the movie, Christopher Reeve. I grew up with, you know, watching Adam West with my grandfather, and then watching Michael Keaton and Christopher Reeve at home. My brother has always been the big Superman fan growing up. Our conversation's gonna, you know, evolve as we continue to talk, but I started more central on Batman, and my brother was always Superman. So when we, you know, collected, I would collect the Batman stuff, he would collect the Superman stuff, and together, you know, we were the world's finest kind of thing.
Love
right?
It.
So Christopher Reeve was it, and then I remember the Justice League. You know, we watched the Justice League animated series on repeat endless amount of times. We, you know, we still quote it to this day. Superman really stood out in that series for me, even though, you know, there's an ensemble of characters, and you might not get to focus on Superman or Batman, or, you know, there's going to be an episode about Green Lantern and Hawkgirl as they're venturing in space. But the moments that Superman were in that series, they really struck, because you got to see him as the leader. You got to see him lead the Justice League, or how he would react in, you know, situations that you hadn't seen him in before, because this was our first introduction to an animated Justice League. You know, I know there's the Super Friends, but Justice League took things a little bit more serious. So I would say for me, oh my God, I'm forgetting one. Smallville.
There we go.
You know? So yeah. So it my earliest introduction, definitely Christopher Reeve, but man, oh man, were we right there into Smallville. Like that series, I remember watching it. I always loved the costumes. So Smallville, initially, I didn't catch me, because I'm like, oh, I don't know what this is about. Then someone said, it's Superman's younger days. That's why there's no costume. And as soon as I started it, I couldn't stop. That series was excellent. And I know you're a fan, so.
Yes, yeah, it's what got me into this world of Superman. That's what it was. I mean, again, I've mentioned this before. Superman is as recognizable as a Coca-Cola or a McDonald's sign. But for me to wake up one fateful Sunday morning here in the UK, and this show was on, halfway through, and I was like, well, I recognize these characters and these storylines. I was like, oh, this is a story about young Superman. Let's see how this goes. And yeah, and from that fateful moment, I fell in love with the show. And as I was waiting for more seasons, I wanted to learn more about the character. So I started reading more and more comics. And then again, talking about hyperfixations, that is the one that started and never stopped. I'm still trying to learn as much as I can about Superman, and definitely one of my favorite passions. Now, talking about you and Superman art, bit of show and tell here now, because many a month ago, as I said, this podcast has been a long time coming, and I'm so glad that it's happened now. I've got this in my hand here, Dave. Do you remember this?
I do, now that you're showing me.
There's this. I look forward to our super chat. Thank you for the opportunity. I knew this chat was going to happen, which is why I've not shared these goodies on camera until this chat was going to happen, because that was my initial thought. I thought, what a great time to open up and talk about this artwork when you are live and in front of this face. And here you are. Good things come to those who wait, and I'm so happy to be able to speak with you now, Dave. This has been a joy so far, but let's talk about you and your art. It's something I've wanted to get into. Just recently, a few days ago, it was my birthday, and you shared a fantastic piece of art that has instantly become one of my favorites. So thank you for that. I will be sharing a picture of that up on the screen. But let's talk about this guy some more. And how you, I've been wanting to stick this on something for so long, but also haven't, because I wanted to keep it pristine. I love the way that you draw, well, my hero, I will say it. You do such a fantastic job of bringing this character to life. What is it that goes through your head when you are drawing different characters? Do you feel a different way?
So, interesting enough, when you show, admittedly, I forgot that I sent that sticker. So when you show it to me, I was like, oh my goodness, I haven't looked at this sticker in so long. Not that it's a bad thing. That was a series I did there of I called them, superhero chunkies or superhero chubbies. And the idea was just to make, this Looney Tune looking strange shaped characters. And I did a whole series. I did as many DC and Marvel versions as I could. Superman, that's actually an edited one, because the first time I did Superman, he was actually one of the first ones I drew. And then when I came, after I had drawn, I don't know, it felt like hundreds. I know I drew like 80 different Batman because he's got so many suits. But anyways, when it came to Superman, I came back to that one and I tweaked it a little bit. I refined, certain things, his eyes, the lines and whatnot. But overall, when it comes to drawing different superheroes, what I feel, this might sound like a cop-out, but I'm here to be honest.
Please.
I don't feel anything different. I just feel joy, because drawing 100% is my passion. So as long as I'm drawing, it can be Batman, it can be Superman. I don't necessarily go to a dark place when I'm drawing Batman, or go to a light place when I'm drawing Superman. As long as I'm drawing these characters that I love, I'm just in another world. Like drawing, to be honest, going back to childhood, because this is where everything started. Whenever I would be antsy or, let's say, frustrated, whatever, my mom or my grandmother would say, Dave, let's sit down and draw. And it became my like soothing, some people might watch something or listen to something. But for me, if I'm drawing, it's Zen, man. Like I'm just chilling. It doesn't matter who it is. I love it.
I love that. I think what we're going to have to do in the future, when I learn how to do it, is that we can have another chat. I'm guessing I'm putting this out there. We'll both watch the Superman film in a few months' time, as this is the year of Superman.
Can't wait.
I'm trying to hopefully speak as many people as possible after the film to talk about it, to share our thoughts. When we have a chat, Dave, in the future, and we'll work out a way in which you can draw your artwork at the same time.
Cool.
And I will try my very hardest to just pay attention, because I know that I will be just drawn to the artwork. Whenever I'm walking through Artist Alley at a con, it's my favorite place to be able to just watch people effortlessly bring characters to life in such different ways is magical for me. But to be there and also have a conversation with somebody whilst they're creating art, I think, how can you do that? But that is a superpower. So I'm looking forward to seeing you create artwork in the future. And the fact that learning that, as you said, it brings you calm. It's your happy place, as it were. But you've drawn many a character and many a villain. Which one for you is possibly the most difficult one to draw?
Strangely enough, the character that I've drawn the most and that I, have spouted through this chat that I enjoy the most is Batman, no doubt. And that one, I would honestly admit that I don't want to say it's difficult, but maybe I'm the most critical of drawing Batman. So there's so many great artists out there who've drawn Batman, Alex Ross, Jason Fabok, Jim Lee, you see these guys and they capture these dynamic poses with the cape and all this stuff. So when I'm drawing Batman, it may not be difficult because I can get it done pretty quickly, But in my brain, there's always this, something's holding me back because I'm like, oh, it's not good enough. Oh, it's not good enough. Difficult in that sense might not be the way that you were questioning. But to me, that's what I find a challenge is being satisfied with the piece. So, you know, Superman, personally, I enjoy drawing Superman because, as you can see, probably from the sticker that you have and the birthday drawing is a very similar pose. Not intentional at all. That's just my go-to. I always have this idea of, you know, hovering Superman who's smiling. Yeah, like, I want to show his strength, but his kindness.
What a concept. A Superman that smiles. We won't get too much into that, but there we go.
When I draw Superman, he's fun. There's not this stress because I don't have to get, you know, the perfect angle on the cowl, or I have to have the cape covering him enough, but showing enough of his symbol. And no, Superman's cape just blowing in the wind. And I can show off, you know, the character, and he's fun to draw. Not that Batman's not fun, but he's just a little more critical. And then, you know, characters like Spider-Man, Hulk, Wolverine, I know they're not DC, but I do love drawing them as well. That's because fun. I find, you know, Hulk, I love drawing the big muscles. It's fun to make, just to draw exaggeration, right? And then Spider-Man, in the other direction, not big muscles, but very, you know, contorted. I love drawing all sorts of angles where his, you know, his legs are bent a certain way, because you get to really experiment. Can't draw Superman like that or look a little funny.
I mean, yeah, let's do some smash ups. Let's do some crossovers in the next few pieces. let's do Superman and Clark doing some yoga positions like Spidey can do. Let's have him like it. Well, again, but that's the ability that you can do, is that you can know how to draw a character. You get into that mindset of you've seen these characters over the years in so many different positions and so many different ways that you think, well, Superman actually wouldn't float like this, or Spider-Man wouldn't crawl like that or be in that position. So I love that you get into that mindset of knowing how a character should look, not how they will look. I do love that. Going back to your artwork, which I've got a few more pieces here that I will talk about soon. When did this become more than just a hobby for you, and you thought, actually, I could make a career out of this?
It's funny. Okay. Been drawing since I was 2, always a passion, known for it throughout school. High school hit, and I had a fantastic art teacher who was an enormous Superman fan. And
what an inspiration.
Man.
You shouldn't have favorite teachers, but...
art and Superman. Yeah, wow. You can't go wrong, right? So he was very encouraging throughout high school, and you know, I would draw extra doodles in my book, and I would draw Batman and Superman, and then I would go to him and say, how's this look? How's the anatomy? And he'd say, you know, the arms need to be longer. And he would kind of coach me, and you know, then class would be over, and I'd say, hey, just watch the episode of Smallville, and you know, we'd kind of be chatting on and off about new movies and stuff. Being able to experience that as a student impacted me, and I thought, okay, I want to find out what he did to get to where he's at. Cause I like the idea of teaching, I thought. So I, you know, kind of followed his footsteps, went to university for fine arts. I did sculpture, printmaking, painting, drawing, learned all the classic techniques as he did. But throughout university, I found I was enjoying digital art, and I had gotten my hands on a tablet for the first time. Drawing on a tablet was like nothing before, cause I'd only ever drawn on paper. Getting to hit Command Z to erase my mistakes, you know, it was a lot easier than rubbing out on the paper there. So I really started to find that I was liking digital art, even though I had the teachings of classical. By the time I was finished university, I was, you know, again, working in a music store. I went from Sunrise Records to HMV and just kind of bouncing around with part-time jobs. And then a friend of mine who is a writer said, we had worked on like comics and fun, jokey drawings and web comic art and all this stuff. He says to me, he goes, I've got a job for a storyboard. Would you be interested in trying? I've heard of storyboards. I've seen them on DVD special features where they show them and how they made the movies. You see people flipping through these pages. And I thought, okay, I've never done them before, but let's try. And after that, it just kind of spiraled. I just started getting calls because I found that the community for storyboard art was, I guess, niche. I don't want to say it's small, but I'm near Toronto and a lot of productions happen in Toronto. And, you know, I got an email saying, hey, I was referred to you by this person. Hey, I was referred to you by this person. And now here I am 11 years later, full time working for myself doing a storyboard art. And, you know, I don't know if I've trailed off here or if I've answered your question, but that's how it became a profession. And now it's just, it's what I do. And then I do this stuff like superheroes is on the side for myself, for fun, comic cons and whatnot.
I love it. It was the answer that I was hoping to get to, because it's something that came from something else that brings you joy. You found something else that you were good at because of your love for art. And yes, I am a fan of storyboards. I mean, in a way, it's like a comic. It's visual.
Yes.
I get visual clues. I'm not good with words. Visuals, I'm great there. And I think James Gunn shared a photograph a while back from the set of Superman, and it was just boxes and boxes of sketches and storyboards that I really hope one day will see the light of day and will be put into a book, because I can get lost in storyboards for hours. I've been at a few hero sort of museums and seen the artwork on display. And I've seen some of the original storyboards for Superman 78 and Superman Returns and Man of Steel. And it's wonderful to see these images, how they start off as a thought and then they are created on art and then you see them eventually in a film. And it's a wonderful process. So when you get, say, a new job, no matter what that may be, how do you get into that zone of thinking, right, this is what the client wants, this is what I'm going to give them?
It's tough because not so much the work that's being created, like the drawings, but more so who you're working with can really differ, which, you know, is no surprise. Everyone's a different person, right? Different souls, different personalities. But some directors will give you more freedom and give you loose notes. You know what? Let's pull this back a bit. Kind of like comics. If you ever heard of certain artists working with certain writers, one I can remember is Scott Snyder and Greg Capullo, okay? I remember them talking about the first time they worked together. Greg Capullo was, you know, used to just doing what he does. And Scott Snyder was always used to, like, we got to follow the script. So when they came together, they told the story that they kind of butt heads.
Yeah.
But now they're the greatest of duos, right? So it's kind of like that with storyboards as well. Some directors will come in and they'll say, you know, we're doing a spot for a pizza place. We need to draw someone walking down the street carrying a pizza. Then they walk into the pizza place and they set it down on the table. And I'll say, okay. And I'll draw it up and they'll go, perfect. That's all we need. Thanks. And then there's other times where I'll be drawing a sandwich. And as you can tell, I'm using food because I do a lot of commercials for food. A lot. And not that's a bad thing, but it tends to make me hungry while I'm working.
I was going to say, does it make you hungry if you're soon? Depends on the advert, I suppose, doesn't it?
It has inspired my choice of dinner a few times. You know, if I'm doing a pizza spot that night, I'm ordering pizza. Like it has happened.
So
for sure.
Looking into that, I mean, we won't name any companies, of course, but have you ever had some projects that you've felt that you were worked extra hard on and you didn't enjoy the outcome? Would that have a sort of an effect on the food choice in the future? Would you say, oh, I'm not going there, or definitely going to this place?
No, you know, it's never, I'm a food guy. I love food. So it won't affect me, to be honest. No, it's, you know, like I said, there's the people who have you just, here's a pizza box being delivered. Then there's the others who will say, you know, we need a close-up of a sandwich. And if you can see my screen, you know, it's like a macro shot where this close, you know, the sandwich is taking up the entire frame. And we need to make sure that it's got cheese, then lettuce, then onions, then peppers, then, you know what I mean? So they need to make sure, because when they're showing the client wants to look at it and go, this is exactly what we want to see at the end. So some artwork needs to be very, very specific.
Yes.
It's, you know, depending on the energy level that I have, sometimes it's fun because I'm like, oh, I love getting into the nitty gritty and making it look perfect. But then at the end of the day, when I'm tired, I'm just kind of like, oh man, I need to start again tomorrow kind of thing.
let's stop this for now. Let's get back to this tomorrow. Right. Okay. Then role play time now, because this has just filled my head full of ideas.
Sure.
What's your favorite place to eat? What sort of is your favorite food, your go-to food to make you happy?
Okay. So this has been something that I've always said or always tried to figure out. But I think as easy of an answer as it is, I have to go with pizza. I'm a Ninja Turtle at heart.
I love it. That's fine. The pizza works. Pizza brings so much joy to so many people around the world. Right. Next case scenario. A new pizza joint is opening up near to you. It's local. Okay. You've only heard good things. They've asked for an advert. They've given you carte blanche. How do you incorporate Superman into a pizza advert for them? Even though you're doing the storyboards, you're also doing some of the direction for this and the creation. What are we thinking? And what would be Superman's favorite pizza?
Oh my goodness. What kind of pizza do they have in Metropolis?
They've probably got quite a few.
New York style?
I would hope it would be more New York style.
Yep.
Chicago. I mean, I've had a Chicago style. It's a bit messy. I don't think Superman could fly with that.
No.
Be a bit difficult. So I know his favourite meal is, one of his favourite meals is beef bourguignon. Doesn't really work on a pizza, but we'll get to that. But anyway, yep. Superman is selling this company's pizza. How are we doing it?
So if I had to come up with the commercial and draw the storyboards, I'd want there to be, I mean, it depends on the budget, depends on the length of the commercial, but let's go for a smaller budget, shorter commercial, because I could get into a whole, you know, he's saving the city.
I love
and,
it. I love the details.
So I would say the key thing that I'd want to show, let's maybe stick to key frames. I'd say it'd be interesting to start with, you know, not focused on Superman, have the pizza place about to be, you know, in some sort of danger, however you want to think. Maybe a big shadow is over the pizza place and we look up and we see a big foot about to step on the pizza place. And the guy's sitting there and he's like, oh, I just opened the place. You know, we'll add in a little bit of humor. He's like, we're just opening today and already. And right before the foot comes down, it stops. And we see Superman and he's holding the foot. He's smiling. I you know, don't want to necessarily show, we won't show any violence. So we'll cut to then the pizza, you know, focusing on the pizza, close-up shots of the food, people eating it, how delicious it is. And then we cut back to, you know, Superman with the shop owner eating, you know, the city's been saved. We allude to, like, you know, everything's been taken care of and he's eating pizza saying, you know, oh, this is the, you make it. No, if it just opened, then he couldn't say it's just as good as last week. But, you know, he could say, oh, this is the best, this is my new place to come and eat pizza. And then, sorry, I'm not a writer. I'm an illustrator, not a writer.
I'm watching the process happen, and it's giving me ideas as well, because now I want to open up a pizza restaurant with a Superman theme with comics as well. My head is just blowing up. Final shot of the advert, I can see Superman sat down in a booth, and he's using his cape to wipe his...
yes!
Wipe the sauce off, because it's that good.
And then I'd say, yeah, I don't know, maybe right before he finishes, or before he finishes, we hear something in the distance and he says, you know, duty calls, and he zips off, but with his pizza, or, you know, and the guy says, you know, thanks, Superman, come back, you know, anytime, or
I'll take this one to go.
Yeah.
It works. Something. Right. If this happens, if somebody else makes an advert and it sounds anything like this, prepare yourselves because we're coming for you.
Well, hey, did you see the State Farm Batman commercial recently? Right?
Wow. I got tagged in that quite a few times. I'm thinking, why isn't this a film? Why isn't this the actual film that's been brought out? Interesting choice, State Farm. But yeah, beautifully done.
So maybe
done.
Next is a Pizza Superman commercial. Who knows?
If it happens, I want to see your name on the storyboards. I tell you what, that's for sure. I love that. That's the creative juices coming out of you, which is brilliant.
You put me on the spot. I wasn't ready.
That's fine. I did say the questions would be easy, but I'm going to throw in a few twists and turns in there. Right. Going back to your art, we've talked about the Fantastic Superman and the other heroes that you've created. Can we talk a little bit about these beautiful creations?
Those have a special place in my heart.
I'm glad. Let's talk about them. There will be more pictures on these online when I share the episode. But let's talk about these pins, please, Dave.
Okay. So they were, like most things that have happened to me in my, I guess, career, a lot of stuff I've stumbled upon. And I know that sounds clumsy. But what I mean is a lot of things just start out as either an idea or a joke. Right? Like a joke between friends that we escalate to now a printed comic book, or an idea of just a general concept that, you know, I can't fall asleep because I'm thinking about it. So I'll sketch it out. And then the next day I refine it. So to me, as a comic book fan and artist, as much as I love comics and I've been trained traditionally in art, and also taken something I haven't mentioned was that I've taken classes with Ty Templeton. I'm not sure if you're familiar with the name.
It's ringing a bell, but please, if you could just reintroduce me with that name.
So Ty Templeton is a Canadian comic book artist. He illustrated a lot of the animated series Batman comics when they were, like, back in the day. And yeah, he still is, actually. And he's worked on a certain Spider-Man comic as well. And I mean, a whole lot more. I'm not doing the man justice by just saying that. If you pick up one of the first trades of Batman the Animated Series comic books, you'll see Ty Templeton's name on it. Fabulous, fantastic man and artist, just excellent. Going back to the creation of all this, as a comic artist, even though I've been trained in all these methods, because, you know, with Ty, we learned page layout, how to tell a story with images, different techniques for inking, anatomy, all this stuff. to me, I still love the idea of designing a character. I'll draw comics. I've drawn them and it's fun. But I love designing logos and suits. As you can see, if you go on my Instagram, you know, I've got ideas galore of, you know, how I would draw the Joker, how I would draw Batman, you know, just over the years, different concepts. I think that all spawned from toys as a kid, because the Kenner toys, you know, you got an orange Batman, a blue Batman, a green Batman, deep sea, you know, Batman. There's all these different costumes. So now as an adult, I'm like, I can draw whatever comes to my mind. So if I want to draw a Batman with polka dots on him, I can do it, kind of thing, right? So this Superman symbol, I've always loved the idea of, if I ever was to be a part of a production for a Superman movie or a Batman movie or comics of any sort, I probably wouldn't have the pull to do so. But if I ever got to have the control to make my own suit, what would my Batman look like? What would my Superman look like? So I thought to myself, I really enjoyed the, you know, I enjoy all characters and all iterations. So even though Christopher Reeve is, you know, I will proudly say is my preferred Superman overall, just because it's what I grew up with, I love certain aesthetics from the Man of Steel. And you can see that in a lot of my art as well when I am drawing Superman, because that symbol there, I thought, you know, I want to really take into consideration the swirls that are incorporated in the like organic alien tech aspect of Superman. And I didn't want to get too weird with it. I still wanted it to be recognizable as the Superman symbol, but different enough that it wasn't the Superman symbol. As you can see, in the end, it's not even branded as Superman. And that was intentional, because it's not. It's an homage. It's just an homage to Hope. And therefore, it can be its own thing while still being recognizable, but clearly very different. So it was intentionally done. You know, it's no secret that I love the Max Fleischer Superman. And if you look at that logo, it's got the gold outer rim, and then the dark background instead of the classic yellow, and then the red for the S. So I really wanted to capture this unique, organic, alien tech Superman that still felt heroic, not scary. You know, I had all these ideas, and that was peace, I guess, that I was able to accomplish. So in my mind, I got there as best I could, and really, really happy with it.
I love the fact that there have been so many different Superman designs over the years, whether it be the Fleischer, whether it be Superman Returns, whether it be Man of Steel, Kingdom Come, True Brit. There's been some fantastic different versions over the years. And yes, we've got James Gunn's new logo, which many have said it's just the Kingdom Come logo, but I'm fine with that because I think it's a fantastic logo. But when I see something new and creative like what you designed, I loved it. And when that came out of your wonderful care package, I was like, wow, I need to know more about this design. And I'm so glad that we get to talk about it today, because with many of the Superman logos, there's the different variations. And this, I just love the black and silvers and grays in that one. I'm scared to take it off, because I like to keep it on the little pin. I've in the mess that is my fortress, I've got two pin boards over the back that have got Superman pins on. And I'm going to have to attach this one onto it. Now, because I've been waiting for this chat to happen, it's still on the board, but I'm so glad that this chat finally is happening. Because I want to know more.
I will gladly send you.
I will go to your store. If they're still for sale on your store, that's where I'll be going. But we will. They're wonderful, wonderful designs. Wonderful designs. And it was a great care package. But
thank
to
you.
Know more about, you know, just the fact that it's a different. And I saw that and thought, hello, what's this? I've not seen that particular logo before. I loved it. I loved the fact that there were those swoops and those swirls to the S's. It's just a beautiful, beautiful design. And if you've not already had it done, that works well as a tattoo. That would really work. So there we go. I can see you've got some there going on.
Yeah, I do. So again, you know, Batman related. I've got Batman and then Joker down here.
Wowzers.
And then on the inside, we've got other villains. And why do we fall in script? So yeah, just this is, oh my God, this is more than a decade old at this point, but it feels like yesterday that I got it. But
what's on the other arm? Anything on the other arm?
No, the other arm's blank.
Superman, please and thank you. Yeah, come on. It's the year of Superman,
right.
Dave.
That's right.
Get on that.
World's finest.
I've got one little Superman tattoo just here on top of my arm. And I think I've contemplated the thought of Superman sleeves over the years, but there's just been so many other fantastic tattooers out there that it would be impossible to do them justice. But perhaps one day I'll find a design that I could just cover my whole body with Superman ink and be a walking comic or storyboard, Dave. That would work as well.
It really is tough, like you said, with so many great artists out there and so many different visuals. How do you land on one? And you know, the funny thing is when I did this, I was in the mindset that I thought I knew exactly what I wanted. Let me start by, I don't regret this. I love this.
That's great.
When I was planning to get it, I spent about 6 months on and off just coming up with the layout. I drew different versions of Batman. Let me be clear though. This is Jim Lee Batman. I didn't draw it, but laying it out. So I would take ideas, concepts, you know, do I want him to be straight on? Do I want the cape to be blowing this way? What version of Joker do I want? So eventually over time, I found all these pieces. I puzzled them together. I photoshopped it onto a picture of my arm to get a sense of it. I brought it into the tattoo artist. I said, this is what I'm looking to do. And we put it right on. So I was very happy. And I was very proud that I was able to design, I guess, my own tattoo. But now years later, seeing other artists and how good they are, I've questioned if I did the correct thing. And the reason I say that is because anytime someone comes to me and they say, hey, do you still design tattoos or do you design tattoos? I often say no. And that's because as a tattoo artist, I know that they have their own style and their own preference, and they are the ones working on the skin. They know the medium best. So for me to draw something up flat on paper and imagine how it's going to work on your arm and then bring it to an artist, it's taking a little bit of creative freedom away from the tattoo artist. So I always recommend to people, I say, you know, I can help you get some ideas. I can help give you a general concept, but I will never take that away from the tattoo artist, because they are the ones who are going to sit there, want to use their own style and their own skill to make it how they want. And, you know, I think to myself, if I was ever to get another tattoo now, maybe I'd have this different approach and see what would come of it rather than putting my own design on my body. You know what I mean? So it's just something I learned over the years.
I love that. Artists looking out for other artists. I love that heroic integrity, Dave. That is something that we need more of. But I think we do see that. We do see the camaraderie between artists, whether it be in a tattoo shop or a Comic-Con that we've talked about. It's people out there that get and understand each other's crafts, which is a wonderful thing. And it's beautiful to see, especially when it's coming from somebody that is so passionate about your art. So we've learned that this is, as you say, a bit of a side job. It's not the main 9-to-5, as it were. But what's it like for you to be able to sit down after a long, hard day and still want to create artwork, but just for superheroes? What's that like?
So, okay, this is more of a recent endeavor, and it's not the most positive, but unfortunately, it's been a little difficult, and not for the reason that I always thought it would be.
Okay.
So people always say, you know, don't turn your passion into work because you'll end up hating your passion. That hasn't happened to me at all. Whenever I talk to people, I say, you know, I thought I was going to get into drawing comics. Instead, I'm drawing pizza. You know, I'm not upset because I'm still drawing. I'm still drawing for a living. And that is the positive to me. The downfall is that I'm technically a freelance artist. So when work comes in, I'm on it. You know, I guess like Spider-Man. Spider-Man's a freelance photographer. He has to take the work as it comes. I was going to say Clark, but Clark works for the Daily Planet. It's not freelance. So I have to take jobs as they come. And the deadlines are sometimes insane. And when you're constantly drawing, and this is something I'm happy to share now. I've never really spoken about it. I've never been on a podcast.
You're a natural, though. I know this is going to go on for about 5 hours, and I'll try and rein it back in. But you are definitely coming back to talk more about this. But
I would be so happy to, because I feel like we have a lot that we can chat about. So again, always trying to keep things positive, but in this case, you can reach fatigue, and fatigue can come in many different ways. So when I draw, I either sit or stand. I try to change it up because, you know, lots of things saying sitting all day is bad for you. And to be very, very, very open, I've had 2 back surgeries. So this was something that I struggled with for about a decade until it essentially, I had a bulged disc, a bulged lower disc.
Ouch.
And so the flare-ups would happen randomly, okay? Mm. And you couldn't know when it was happening. You might just sit the wrong way or sneeze, and then it's like, oh no, you've got this crazy pain. So eventually it came to the point where I was like, surgery's the fix, had the surgery. Immediately a year after, I needed essentially a second surgery, which was the exact same surgery. It just happened to, unfortunately, re-bulge, because I will take the responsibility for saying I didn't necessarily do what I needed to do to recover the first time.
Okay.
So this is why I sit and stand, because I need to change it up. I can't just sit there. It's too much pressure on the back. Now, also drawing all day, I'm right-handed, and I swear I wish, my wife could tell you, I wish every day that I was ambidextrous, because I want to be able to draw with my left hand to the point where
I
think...
I completely understand. I would give my left arm to be ambidextrous. I tell you what.
Right. So, because, you know, I'll draw all... Coming back to your question, I needed to give a little bit of the history, because I will draw all day, you know, doing storyboards, let's say 9 to 5. And by the end of the day, my shoulder's sore. And the shoulder, the way the body works, I tell you, you know, I go to physio, and my physiotherapist jokes. He's like, you know, you could open up a clinic of your own, because I've been learning over the years how to take care of myself, right? And this is, again, this is something I want other artists to hear, because I didn't know this getting into what I'm getting into, that you need to care for yourself. Get your hand massaged, your forearm, your shoulder. Take care of your body, right? So if I draw all day, shoulder gets sore. The way the fascial muscles work in your body is there's like a crisscross pattern. So I draw with my right arm, it leads to lower left back pain. Because your body is a counterweight of having my arm out all day leads this, like, you're balancing, right? Your body's a giant balancing machine. So it ends up, you know, being sore. So at the end of the day, when I want to draw comics, sometimes I just can't. And that's the simple answer. And that's the sad thing.
Yeah.
And I don't want to end on a sad note, because some days I will still do it, even though it's uncomfortable. I'm like, you know what? I need to just draw this quick Batman or this quick Superman.
Look, just get that. Just scratch that itch. I've got to get something out of me creativity-wise. Oh, dude.
But it has slightly hindered my amount of creativity, only because, you know, when I worked at the music shop, or, you know, I worked at Apple as well for a couple of years, you'd go, you'd do your sales, you'd work with people, you come home, and then boom, I'd be just drawing all night till like 3 a.m., different costumes, different. That's when the Chubbies happened. Those happened. I was working at Apple, and I'd come home and just, you know, there's Batman, there's Supergirl, there's Nightwing. There, you know, I've drawn as many of the main characters as I could. And I'll share them with you later, because I have them all on a highlight.
Please.
I'm sorry that I don't have more stuff to just show on camera.
That's fine. You didn't know I was bringing this out, so it was my own fault for surprising you. Quick question, though. Have you created crypto like this?
I have not. No.
Commission time coming in for you, sir. With this year being the year of Superman and crypto, I think that needs to happen, dude.
Yeah, so it's well, and as you know, I'm a dog lover. Actually, I've got my own crypto here. I mean, it doesn't look much like crypto, but
okay. Now this is just completely throwing the podcast off the edge. This is happening right now. The questions can really happen. And what's this gorgeous creature called?
So this is our boy Yoshi.
Yoshi, please be as honest as you like. What's Dave really like? He can't be this charming and positive all the time. How is he when he's grumpy? What do you think, boy? This is game over now.
Yeah, even though I'm trim,
you're both looking luxurious with fantastic hair, Dave. Don't talk about that. But Yoshi's been so well behaved. I had no idea. Oh,
yeah, he's just snoozing behind me. He's used to me working. So
podcast is game over now. This is just turned into a dog fest.
Hey, buddy. Oh.
But that's it. You know you're a dog lover, so we love that. You've got your muse, as it were, all the side. But oh, yeah, we need a crypto like this now to be added to the list, Dave. I know you're a busy man, but you can add that to your next list of work.
Hey, it's good thing to have in the back of my mind.
So let's come back. We'll bring it back to Superman as we are, because we're going to be sadly wrapping this up soon. But I know that you're going to be back on the show soon.
I appreciate that.
A question that I always love, I will ask towards the end. But what are your thoughts? We've talked about Superman 78, and we've talked about Man of Steel, and we talked about Brandon's Superman Returns. What are your thoughts on James Gunn's upcoming Superman film?
So if I'm being as transparent as possible, I'll be honest so that everyone knows I'm being honest and not just fluffing pillows here. I'll start by saying as a person who designs things, I'm going to start at the lower level. As a person who designs things, I was surprised to see the logo choice. Okay. It's not a critique. I was just surprised because, as you know, throughout the years, I've always, like, Christopher Reeve, Henry Cavill, they've always had their own unique, or even Batman, right? Batman 89, all the way through to the Batman. They've always had a unique logo that has been branded for the movie. So to me, I'm still adjusting to the idea of using the Kingdom Come symbol, because as someone who loves to create and see original artwork, I know that this is going to become David's logo, James Gunn's logo. It already has. And I understand that it's a different color, but I'm just a little surprised that that was the choice they made. So that's about as critical as I'll get.
Okay.
Because that's the only criticism that I have. Other than that, I don't know how many times I watched the trailer, because again, I'm a dog person. So the crypto stuff choked me up a little bit, because
I don't know why I did this, but I felt like I had to do it.
No, I love it. I love it. It's amazing.
It was so adorable. And I thought, there's no official merchandise yet. I need some crypto in my life. But yeah, I think you and I may have watched that trailer so many times that we are the reason why it's hitting those high numbers.
Heck, I went onto iTunes or, you know, whatever, wherever you can get the music, got the music for the trailer, listened to it while I'm doing, you know, while I'm biking or doing my workouts or whatever. Like it's, you know, that inspirational, uplifting theme. I love the brightness of the costume. You know, even though we haven't seen David's Superman, you know, smile yet in the trailer, or lend a helping hand, or, you know, they haven't shown any, you know, that like friendly Superman that we might be used to with Christopher Reeve. I know it's going to be in there. You know what I mean? So, and I think they're saving it. When I saw the trailer initially, I thought to myself, what an interesting choice to start with him, you know, beat up in the snow. It almost kind of like swept the rug out from under me. I was like, oh, I don't know how I felt about that. Like it didn't make me feel good. But then by the end of the trailer, I felt great. And I'm like, that's brilliant storytelling, because they draw you in with this, oh, why is Superman beat down and bloody? Immediately it catches your attention and you're like, what is happening? Then they bring his dog into it and you're just like, I love this. I love that crypto's in it. So then at the end, you know, they're chanting his name. They put up the flag. And then I'm like, I'm watching that again. And then the second time around, it made more sense. And then the third time, more sense. Fourth, fifth. You know what I mean?
We are the reason why I racked up all those millions upon millions of views. And that's a perfect way of putting it, is that trailer did tell a fantastic story. And again, to think, why have you started off with Superman at his weakest? Why is he bleeding? Why is he, you know, why is he hurt? You think, all right, okay, it's showing Superman being vulnerable, but almost in a new way. We've seen him go evil over the years. We've seen him being moody and hurt and confused. So it was great to see that in a new way. And especially, as you say, to start that trailer in that way. It was an interesting choice, Mr. Gunn. Yep. So I'm only excited for more of this to come in the future. And especially when we get to come back on and talk about this, and I get to see you draw some Superman artwork at the same time, Dave. Now, before I get to my final question, let me just tell you that this has been an absolute joy, and I'm so grateful that this has finally happened. Some conversations do take a long time to finally happen, but this was for a reason, because I knew we would both have such a fantastic chat, and it won't be the last time, Dave. Now, this question I've asked many people over the years, and it is one of my favorites. What does Superman mean to you?
Okay, so admittedly, I've heard you ask this question. So not that I've got a script ready or anything, but I've thought about it, because I've heard many people's answers, and it's so easy to agree with what everyone said, because you've mentioned how when you're older, you want to have a video or a list of all of these responses so that you can listen to them and or read them and see what everyone's response is. Mine, you know, just like before I give my true answer, obviously the basis answer is like everyone else, you know, the idea of hope and, you know, the goodness that Superman brings. Like, it's inevitable. You can't escape that that's what Superman means when that's the core of the character. But funny enough, Superman, to me, he represents maturity to me personally. This is just a me thing. Because as a kid, as I mentioned, I started out as, you know, a Batman kid wholeheartedly. Got a tattoo to show for it. You know, people that I haven't talked to in 10 years will send me pictures of Batman on Instagram and be like, hey, I thought of you, and things like that. You know, and I've had people randomly buy me, you know, a Batman book or a Batman something. Because again, it was through and through. I was known for Batman all throughout elementary school and high school and so on and so forth. So much to the fact, oh my God. So this is just a fun fact that I mentioned to you. I was in the trailer for The Dark Knight Rises. Okay.
And when I seen the trailer.
But yes, I remember you said about that. Yeah.
I mean, four or five of my friends, like my brother and my buddies, Brandon, Zach, Dre, and Eric. That was the crew. We road trip to Pittsburgh for the football stadium scene where Bane blows up the stadium to be extras. And we brought the giant Rogue signs with us. So at the beginning of the trailer, when it shows the crowd and you see Rogues, the big yellow Rogue signs, that's us holding them.
Dude.
So this is what I'm saying, to the point of like road tripping to be in a Batman movie. This is how Batman crazy I've been since I was a kid, right? You know, so you go to the store, you go to your Walmart, you get a Batman toy, you get a Batman book. And plus, it was the 90s. There was the animated series. There was, you know, Tim Burton, Joel Schumacher. It was Batmania, as they call it. So in all honesty, Superman to me as a kid, and this is going to hurt to say and for you to hear, but wasn't as interesting to me as a kid. Okay, because I always thought, you know, Batman's dark and mysterious. You know, I liked Spider-Man. He was witty. I liked Wolverine. He was moody. I liked Batman. He was mysterious. These masked characters with these, you know, a little bit of attitude or gadgets. You know, you could buy a Batman toy and he would come with all sorts of things. And, you know, I'm so sorry that I keep sniffling, by the way. I had a cold last week and I don't know how much it's coming across to the listeners, but it's also allergy season. So I'm kind of getting
it's all
a double
kicking off. I appreciate your determination to power through.
Okay, so back to it, because I really want to explain this to you. So yes, Batman, Spider-Man, all these typical childhood heroes that we look up to because they're fantastical, right? To me, Superman was, I'm gonna say all these hurtful things because I need to drive my point home.
It's okay.
It hurts me.
It's okay. It's fine. I mean, we were friends before this, but it's fine.
We'll be friends after, I promise.
There we go. That's the hope I was looking for.
So, you know, as a kid, I thought, you know, why does Superman not cover his face? That's a silly disguise. Why is a green rock hurt him? Oh, he's too strong. You know, it's not as interesting, you know, that he can fly through walls. At least Batman is a human, and all these typical arguments that you hear. Right. So the reason, coming back to saying maturity, is what Superman means to me, is because as I've aged up in life, I've become a much, much larger Superman fan. Not necessarily to say that, you know, he has outranked any other superhero. It's just that, you know, Batman was here and Superman was here. Now all the heroes that I love are elevated because Superman, to me, you know, I started to realize that the simplicity in the disguise is, it's cute. It's a tongue in cheek. You know, it's the glasses. It's, you know, it's fun. But not to mention, he's wholesome. He's friendly. He wants to show his face. If you have a man who's flying through buildings wearing mask, it's terrifying. He can already be considered scary as is if you're, you know, in the Man of Steel universe as they portrayed him as not knowing who he is, right? Mm. But put a mask on that man, way scarier. So, you know, number one, no problem with the mask situation anymore. The rock thing, you know, the rock, the kryptonite, it's a beautiful metaphor because it's a piece of his home planet. Yes, it's the radiation of it, but in any other, you know, pop culture, you would think a piece of your homeland would make you stronger. So what an irony that it's what poisons him, because now he has become so part of humanity and Earth that his home planet is now a poison to him. So that's poetry to me. Like, I, you know, as a kid, I didn't understand it. I was like, that's silly. You just got to hold a green rock and he gets sick. But now, understanding the context, it means more to me from a story standpoint. And then lastly, the strength thing. It's fantastic that he's strong. And, you know, as we saw in the trailer, he can get hurt, but it's hard to hurt Superman. But it's his emotion. It's who he is as a character, balancing, you know, what's right from wrong. You can be as powerful as you want. And, you know, it's funny. They said it. They told me in Superman 78, you know, he said, with all that power, I couldn't save him, you know, about Pa Kent. The fact that I'd seen that movie as a kid, but it didn't click as a kid. Because again, I had to mature into someone who's now read more comics, you know, done more studying, seen more movies, just more well-rounded as a person. And even in my own life, you know, I used to think, I'm like Batman, I'm never going to give up and I'm going to try really hard and I'm going to study and this and that. And I'm going to be the best human I can be. Sorry, sniffles. But now I'm thinking, you know, Superman, he is an alien, but he is so human. He is, you know, as everyone always says, he's the epitome of humanity or what he believes it to be. And even though I don't have superpowers or, you know, can't fly, no strength or no super strength, I relate now more to Superman than Batman because I'm not a, rich billionaire who knows ninja skills, of course, and I don't have superpowers, but the humanity of Clark Kent is what I relate to. So making the right choices, you know, being kind to people, trying to be as positive through, you know, sometimes some of the darkest times that we may have seen, you know, we won't get into anything specific, but even my own battles, you know, with having the back surgery and going through a decade of on and off surprise back pain, where it was literally, you know, bedridden for weeks at a time and things like that. Like it fortified my mind to be a stronger willed person. So as I grew up, I started to see Superman as this, you know, this boulder that can smash anything, but he can't. He has to hold back, and he has to bring the humanity that he understands that he was taught by his parents into himself so that he can release that kindness back into the earth. And that's something that everyone can do. We don't need superpowers to do that. So that's why I say, to me, it's maturity, because it's not about the gadgets and the mask and the attitude. It's about just flat out being a good person, the best person you can be. A friend of mine, I'll name drop him even, Zach, very good friend of mine, always said to me that his dad would tell him the golden rule is the simplest rule to follow. Treat others the way you want to be treated. And I always think that now, you know, if someone doesn't get back to me soon enough, I don't go, you know, Bob didn't get back to me. I go, I hope Bob's okay, you know, because I've rewired my mind to think everyone's got their own life. Everyone is their own player one in their video game, you know, their own star in their own movie. You're not always the forefront at someone else's mind just because you're thinking, why hasn't this person done A, B, or C? You know, so you got to give people the benefit of the doubt. And, you know, Superman does, because what does he do? He saves Lex every time, even though Lex is trying to kill him steady. So that's something that's, it's simple, and we see it all the time. We take it for granted, but it's really important to me and the character. So you know, that's my takeaway.
Again, there's no wrong answer to that question. I say that time and time again. Everybody says something different. And I've never heard somebody say, to me, Superman means maturity. But it works. It's, again, it's somebody else's interpretation. It's somebody else's thinking. And I love that answer, Dave. As you said, hopefully one day I'll bring a book out or a video. Your answer's going to be in that, because it was bloody perfect, Dave. It really was.
Can I interrupt, actually, just to point one thing out that I find? I love the idea of irony. So, you know, if you talk to people, they'll often say that Batman's realistic and Batman's mature because he's darker. Superman, unrealistic and, you know, for kids because he's bright and he's happy. But I've swapped both of those in my mind over the years because Batman, you know, there's a bunch of billionaires in the world. I don't see a Batman, okay? And realistically, you fall off a building once, I don't care how much Kevlar you have, you're done for. So, you know, the maturity of Batman might be in the tone of the darkness, but he is a fantastical, cartoony, you know, gadgetry, Batmobiles, bat signals. He's a big kid in a costume. Whereas Superman is more realistic to me, because I would believe that an alien would crash down on Earth before a billionaire would become a superhero this day and age. And I you know, it's just that's where my brain has gone. So I flipped this to become an ironic thing. And the fact that, you know, Superman might be bright and look childish, but he is the most, like, wholesome, you know, fatherly, manly, good-hearted person trying to save everyone. So that's a very mature thing. I know Batman is as well. So, you know, I'm not throwing Batman under the bus by any means. He's also a hero.
Please don't, because that's the sort of thing that Batman would hold a grudge about.
That's right. But I'm just saying that in my realization, I've noticed the flip in my own mind. And, you know, I wonder if others have come to this conclusion that Superman is, you know, just as realistic or just as mature. So that's my last takeaway.
Perfect and powerful answer. And one that I will be thinking about for quite some time. And I love that when an answer can make me think more than the actual question itself. Beautiful stuff, Dave. I've had so much fun.
Thank you
for this. It won't be the last time. We're going to have so many more conversations, whether it be just us chatting or us on the show. Definitely want to see you create some artwork in the future. Dave, please tell people where they can find you online, sir.
Absolutely. So I mostly function on Instagram. You know, I peek in on Twitter or Threads here and there, but I'm not very, very active on those platforms. So on social media, I am just all one word, Dave Franciosa Art. And it's, you know, can be confusing because my last name ends with an A and then, you know, Art starts with an A. So it is a double A. So Franciosa and then Art. But yeah, I'm just mostly on social Instagram. just where I post stories and, you know, share other people's artwork or post my artwork, and just like to generally chat with people such as yourself. Like, if it wasn't for Instagram, this wouldn't be happening right now. So
completely. So yeah,
I love that we live in a world where we're on other sides of the planet, different time zones, and here we are talking about Superman. It's excellent. I love it.
I can't wait. And I can't wait to see some more Superman art from you, and especially some crypto art as well. So Dave and Yoshi, thank you so much for your time today. Oh yeah, I knew he was coming back. That's the cameo that I was hoping for. Look up. Oh, but he's waving. Bye, Yoshi. It was an absolute honor. Like, oh, this was perfect, Dave. Thank you so much.
Really appreciate you, Luke. Thank you for your time. Thank you for your patience. I know it's been a long time coming. Months, as you said.
Months, but it was worth the wait.
I really appreciate it.
To talk about your artwork and to talk about you. Dave, it's been an honor, and I can't wait for us to do it again soon.
Awesome. As me as well. Can't wait. Thank you, everyone, for listening. You know, I hope I helped someone, or, you know, gave a message that someone can take away and, you know, make their day better or learn something, because, I don't know, that's what we're here for.
Perfect. Thanks, guys. Thanks for listening. We'll be back soon with a brand new episode of the Podcast of Steel.